Cheater on the Rood with Lee Papa and Jeff Chrysler, Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on the Progressive Radio Network.
Welcome to PBS's Children's Hour, international radio for the youngins. Really, that's what I get. I come in like last minute for the show, and you guys have planned out blowing the intros.
No. I planned out. Am I on?
I can't hear you. I don't know if Leah is the Rood man on?
What, I don't know if Rood's on.
Am I on?
I'm on. Okay, good.
Oh, good. So you missed it. So I just sounded like an ass.
Jesus,
bringing
man,
up blowing on my
back
own.
Back the fuck off, all right?
Once again.
Am I really hot?
You are kind of cute, and it is a little humid. Yeah.
Yes, it is. It is. It's sticky.
Hey, everybody.
It is. You're hot.
I'm on fire.
Your mic is hot.
Is it? I'll stop.
It is. It's a little hot.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, this is Lee Papa here for Cheater and the Rood, and that's what you're listening to, Cheater and the Rood, here on the Progressive Radio Network. I do the blog, The Rood Pundit, and with me, as always, is
Jeff Chrysler. I do whatever blogs I come across.
He is also the author of Get Rich Cheating, and he has a Get Rich Cheating show coming up in a couple of places.
I have a double whammy in New York with Professor Dan Ariely on October 11th, and then in Washington, D.C., center of the universe, on October 12th with Dylan Rattigan.
Also joining us in the studio is the ever-lovable, but much shorter-haired, Drew Overton.
It was time.
It was. I would just like to announce that this next week is the 8th anniversary of The Rood Pundit.
Woo! What?
8 years.
You're legal now in Tennessee, right?
Yes. Isn't that right?
For sex, not marriage.
Oh, well, I thought it would be for marriage, not sex. But okay, no, good.
Hey, guys, am I right? I don't even have to tell the joke, right? Am I right? Sex,
right,
marriage,
right,
you know
right.
What I'm saying?
It's what? Tennessee.
Okay.
Yeah, so, 8 years.
Congratulations.
It's like 700 years in human time, so it's
how are your vocal cords after screaming into the wind for 8 years?
I feel more pathetic and useless than ever. There's nothing quite like
what do you do after you post a blog? You hit the button, what goes through your mind? Another useless waste of my time? I've said something meaningful or something that I can't even imagine?
Usually what I do is I plunge my hand into a bucket of ice.
Mm.
I take out that ice and I place it on my ball sack so that it cools down. Then, while my balls are cooling...
You're talking about you have like a sack of like soccer balls and tennis balls that the kids
yes,
play
with. Exactly. Okay, they get really heated up.
Sure.
They get really heated up. And as my balls are cooling, I think, did I write anything funny or clever today? And occasionally I'll say, did I write anything even vaguely meaningful? And then I'll think, there's always tomorrow.
You know, that's, I think, what either Frank Rich or George W. Bush also goes through.
Yes. I'd like to think of Paul Krugman, actually, every day. Mostly the ice on his balls. That's what
I'm curious, is it first the funny and witty and then meaningful?
Oh, yeah.
It's always funny and witty.
Dirty whore. As a comedian, I must say you're a whore.
90% of the time...
is a comedy whore.
I want to be funny before I want to be meaningful. Once in a while, I want to be dead serious and meaningful, but mostly I want to be funny.
Is that because there's enough meaning in the world? Or enough people that are sincere and you don't want to come across as fake?
You know,
fake
this
sincere.
Is really starting to feel like, you know...
An intervention? It's timely. 8 years of your little masochistic bullshit hiding behind the Rood Pundit. It's time to end!
Wow!
It
feels like you're looking in a mirror.
I don't blog. I just hold it inside.
Jeff,
gonna be a busload of
rage.
Does Jeff have a favorite? Do you have a favorite from his 8 years?
He doesn't read
me. Whatever I guess posted that one time was awesome.
That was a month ago.
He doesn't read me? Are you kidding?
I like the stuff when he's talking about that guy who did that thing that sucked. That was awesome.
Wow.
Was a really good point.
Wow. You know who are actual activists that are in New York now? Mm. I mean, you know, I do protests and shit.
What's going on down on Wall Street?
That's still going. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. The Wall Street thing is still going.
I know that.
They're still out there. They're still occupying Wall Street.
Good.
Yes.
How many?
I don't know. I would guess that still right now, probably 200 or 300 are still there.
And you know who knows about it? People that read blogs. You know who doesn't know about it? All the mainstream news media watchers, because it's not a Tea Party.
Because they didn't wear tri-corner hats.
Right,
if they'd worn tri-corner hats.
Well, they had 6 or 7 arrests, right?
Yes, they did. And the police barricaded. I love that they barricaded the bull down on Wall Street and protected it. Like, really?
You must protect the bull.
I think it's made of steel.
I know.
You have to protect the bull. Otherwise, it's like you see what the wizard's doing behind the curtain.
I see a metaphor.
Another metaphor.
Yes. They didn't want to take pictures of them, you know, looking like they're getting impaled by the bull or something.
Even though that's what everybody does every day. Have you ever hung out down there?
Every day. Yes. So, but they barricaded it. They said they didn't. The police said they didn't care if they were violating the law. They were going to keep the sidewalks and everywhere around there clear. They did end up arresting people. They ended up arresting people for wearing masks, pulling out a 150-year-old law that nobody uses in New York. But because a few people wore those V for Vendetta masks, Guy Fawkes masks, they arrested him, including one who was just wearing it on the back of her head.
Never.
Because you can't see what the back of her head looks like.
Exactly, the back of her head might be packing heat.
That's it.
You never, as any good tax attorney will tell you, never underestimate the linguistic and semantic means to which power will go to protect itself.
Wow, you are correct.
I've been coming up with a lot of not funny, but really meaningful shit.
See, you're meaningful.
Or we're crossing paths, maybe.
You want to be meaningful before funny?
I don't know what I want. This is the problem.
No, do you want to be meaningful or funny? Come on, Jeff Chrysler.
I would like...
No, don't say both. Don't say both. What comes first, funny or meaningful?
Meaningful through a vehicle of funny.
Dick. Jesus Christ.
That bored me.
That bored
honestly.
You?
I'm sitting here with you. Now I'm bored.
You are?
Because he can do better.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can do better in expressing what I want to do, or actually I can have higher goals. Can do better. Which should do better?
I think you can do better in expressing.
Cock monkey.
There you go. That was a fine expression. Anyway,
by the way, I think Rick Perry said cock monkey today.
Did he really?
Is there a debate going on right now?
Yes. Was it about evolution?
It was. I saw a monkey with a cock. Therefore, there is no evolution because I do not have a cock. That's not inside another man. All right.
What? Wow.
Did I exist outside of the temporal state of our lives?
No. I do think that, the debate is going on right now. But you know what? You're better off listening to us than you are listening to those.
More people here will repeat the lies that these Republican debates have been repeating ad nauseum until we believe them. Then we'll know that there's a protest against Wall Street.
Do you not want to know what my favorite Republican lie of this week is?
Today's This Week in Favorite Republican Lie!
My favorite Republican lie this week is that President Obama wants to raise taxes on the wealthy. He does not want to raise taxes on the wealthy.
What?
Not at all.
What do you mean?
What President Obama proposed this week had nothing to do with, he did not propose a tax hike. What he proposed was to close loopholes and some exemptions and then to let the Bush tax cuts that are supposedly temporary expire on the wealthiest, while making permanent those tax cuts on everybody making less than $1 million a year. So he was not at all... those tax cuts were made to be temporary. It's sort of like Drew, you're a Groupon guy, right?
Love Groupon.
You
had a Groupon, tonight.
You had a Groupon.
I had a Groupon.
That's how you got in the studio, right?
I did.
Now.
Half off, cheater in the rude, $15.
Now, if your Groupon expired, would you then say, God damn it, the restaurant raised their prices?
Well, yeah, I probably would.
Well, that's because you're a douche. The restaurant did not raise their prices.
No.
You just didn't use the Groupon.
Correct. You're absolutely right.
Or maybe you did use the Groupon, and then you went back, and the prices were you had to pay regular price. That's
correct.
What the end of the Bush tax cuts are. That's the sunset.
It's the elastic theory of negotiation. It's like oil prices. Oil prices are now, what, $3.50 or something? And we're like, oh, they're not so bad.
You mean gas prices?
You know, yes, thank you. And it's not so bad because it was $4.50 or whatever. It's like, it wasn't too long ago that they were, what, $1?
$2.
$1.80. But you go really high, and then when you come back a little, it's like, oh, it's not so bad. It's the same short-term vision. It's like people that think that Obama passed TARP. It's short-term thinking. Our history's range, our range of time is narrowed by a fog of materialism in that we cannot look back more than a few months and we cannot plan ahead more than a few months. And that is why we are crippled to both misunderstand the past and repeat it in the future.
It's the angel of history. It's the angel of history. Walter Lippmann's angel of history. Now, if I could get a little intellectual here for just a moment. Yes, the angel of history.
That's a book sound.
The angel of history is condemned to fly backwards. Always, however, the motion the angel of history takes is always forward, but it must always fly backwards towards the future while always looking back at the past, but not able to fly back towards the past because the past cannot be changed.
I just got a book boner. I just lost interest.
All right.
Wow.
So, listen.
You're a dick.
You are.
A dick.
Wow.
Why did you bring Dickie McGee in here?
I don't know why I brought Dickie McGee.
Why did you bring
a
third party in here to ruin, take all the votes away from Perot?
I don't know. Take the votes away from Perot. Yes. I don't know what I'm doing here. That's.
You're sweating a little bit. It's kind of moisture out here. Can we blame Michelle Bachmann for being humid?
Yes, we can.
How? Do it. Three steps.
All right.
Three steps. I know you can do it in six. Three steps. It's humid in New York.
Three steps. It's humid in New York. Michelle Bachmann went into a meat locker this week for a photo op. Mm-hmm. So there she was, surrounded by meat curtains.
Mm-hmm.
And she...
Fancy.
You can see photos of Michelle Bachmann and her meat curtains.
No.
Online.
I just gained interest.
Yes.
I just lost
interest. So, what that did was...
That was one.
Yes. That so excited...
Ooh.
Seeing all of those bones in the meat, so excited her husband, Marcus Bachmann, that he was able to... I only have one more step, don't I?
No, he hasn't done anything yet.
He hasn't done anything.
He's been excited, so therefore he XYZ'd, and that led to boom.
Oh, okay. That he had to use a vibrator that had a gas-burning engine that was so powerful on his own anus that it put so much... fossil fuel emissions into the air. Fossil fuel emissions into the air that it actually created a front.
Yes.
That brought humidity back to New York City. All because Michelle Bachmann.
Because of Michelle Bachmann.
And her meat curtains.
Michelle Bachmann's meat curtains causing global warming.
Ding! Hey, how about we take a break?
We're going to take a break.
Cheater in the room.
What about the night? Makes you change.
This is PRN. Progressive Radio Network, your voice for independent views.
Hi, this is Karen Hartglass, and I am a vegan. No, I am not an alien from planet Vega. I simply choose to eat plant-based foods. Join me on Ask a Vegan every Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We'll be talking about everything from soup to nuts. Plant-based foods are the healthiest foods to eat, as well as being the most economical, the most compassionate, and the least destructive. If you want to know more about the healthy, planet-friendly, plant-based diet, call in with your questions. Or call in and share your favorite vegan recipes. Tune in on Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on www.progressiveradionetwork.com. You are listening to PRN, Progressive Radio Network.
That promo.
That was the longest fucking break ever.
That promo got a few.
You got funky?
The little funky, like, yeah. Listening.
Can I ask Drew something?
I suppose he's here.
His mom is listening. She got to hear me talk about, you know, Marcus Bachmann's turbocharged penetration.
Yeah. It was the meat curtains, I think, that probably got
No, the meat curtains are not. People don't always get meat curtains. It's when you explicitly say that the vibrating gas-powered dildo is used on an anus. No one misunderstands anus and thinks it's referring to something in a meat locker.
No, meat curtains are labia, for those of you that.
Okay, thanks.
Well, pretty much she understands that. Everything now.
Yes, yes.
God, you are the worst metaphor person in the world.
The
birds and the bees.
There is no redemption at this point. Turn it off, Mom. Turn it off.
So, Drew, let's just suppose, for the sake of argument, that you make millions of dollars.
Okay.
How would you feel about paying 39.5% tax on that versus 35%?
Wouldn't care.
Wouldn't care?
Wouldn't make a damn bit of difference.
No?
Nope.
No.
Nope.
What about on capital, if it was on capital gains? Would you care if it was 20% versus 15%?
Wouldn't care.
Why not?
Well, first, capital gains now is 15%.
Right.
That's all I pay.
Right, right.
I sell my company, I pay 15%.
Because Drew's an actual business person.
He knows words.
He's not. And I'm doing air quotes here. Creative like me and Jeff.
No.
I'm a business person. I just not very good. My business is wake up and be like,
I need some money.
And then I call you up and say, have you blogged yet?
Yes, and I'll
because I got the ice.
Oh, good. You're gonna be my ice boy. But let's let Drew continue. Yes.
You pay your 15%. You pay your 20%. It's not going to make a difference in what you do the next day.
Yeah.
Well, make a bit of difference.
That's one of the greatest myths is that a marginal tax increase is going to stop people from wanting to make money.
I love that.
It's going to increase your desire to make the money.
Yeah.
I won't make $1 million because I only have, you know, 700 grand instead of 750.
Who's the senator out of Louisiana that said he, you know,
David Vitter?
Yeah, $6.3 million he was going to...
No, that was a representative. That was of the senator. Yeah.
He's going to what?
He was going to make $6.3 million net profit. And if the taxes were increased on him, he would only have $400,000 to feed his family. I don't know who his accountant is. Don't know who gave him that math. But a marginal increase of 3%, 4%, let's say even 15%, you're still not going to lose 85%.
No, you know what it is. What he was going to make, what was the figure beforehand?
6.3 million.
6.3 to 400,000. Because if that 3% went up, $5.9 million he was getting illegally from major corporations was no longer...
That loophole, that loophole would just close.
Exactly. Gone, closed.
Elizabeth Warren, who's, from Harvard, who is now running for Senate against Scott Brown. Well, she's running for the Democratic nomination to run against Scott Brown for Senate in Massachusetts. She was before an audience, and somebody brought up class welfare, class warfare, as far as tax policy goes. And she said to the audience, and this is great, you can see it on, I believe, on the internet. And she said,
She said the fact nobody has ever made money on their own. If somebody opens up a factory and that factory is successful, that's great. But they built that factory by transporting the materials on roads we all built. Mm-hmm. They hired workers.
Public goods,
they hired workers that were educated in schools that we all paid for. They are protected by police and firefighters that we all pay for. And it's like she just well, and fucking reamed out that argument.
I love her, and you talked to her, then no, I'll remember.
It's a beautiful statement, and it is, but even with all that, the reality of it is, if you're in business and you know that this is your tax rate, if your capital gains is 15%, 20%, 25%, you're gonna do business accordingly.
Right.
It's going to be incorporated into how you do business, and how you expand, and how you grow it, and how you price things. And so, it's a bullshit argument.
Yeah,
that's total bullshit.
Which argument is bullshit?
The argument that those increases are going to impact the growth of business.
Yes.
As a businessman, you're going to take those considerations, and you're going to grow your business according.
And anybody that says, well, we'll go elsewhere, it's like, okay, go ahead to England where they're doing clawbacks.
Absolutely.
Go ahead to Greece. Have a good time.
Yes.
I don't want to lose sight of the Elizabeth Warren thing, because I'm curious what your guys' opinion is. I did a show last weekend, a stand-up show at a college in New Hampshire, and it was great. It was fun. And I don't know if you guys have seen my longer stand-up, but I talk a lot about the role models for women, and particularly like how Sarah Palin, Michelle Bachmann, whatever your politics are, I think are terrible role models, because they put forward, oh, you want to be in politics and you're a woman, that means you have to sound like an idiot. Regardless, it's a longer discussion. Afterwards, this young lady for the newspaper is asking, okay, so who's a good role model? And I couldn't access my brain Elizabeth Warren. I think she's a fantastic role model working for a great cause. But I'm curious, as three dudes sitting here, who, let's restrict it to sort of relatively political sphere, is a good role model for women today? If the baseline is that, you know, Sarah Palin's be a beauty queen and then quit your job and exploit populist idiocy is a bad example for women. Maybe this is too big a thing.
No. I mean, you know, you could go with anybody that's in the administration, whether it's Hillary Clinton or...
That's the example I
use. Yeah, and, you know, I would even go further and say Chelsea Clinton, who's also, for young people, would be a terrific role model. I can't remember. See, this is the bad part. I can't remember the names. You're right, off the top of my head. The Secretary of... The Secretary of Homeland Security.
Janet Napolitano.
There's
the ones on the Supreme Court.
Yeah, the ones on the Supreme Court. Yeah, there's quite a few.
The ones that didn't...
Pretty
and mouthpiece their way to it.
Yes.
I want to use worse words, but it won't come out right in my mouth.
Well, dude, never say anything like that and leave me open today. It won't come pretty out of my mouth.
Not going to get pretty on that side.
Point is... No, the point that, however, we're running...
Do your thing.
Though they were also the Supreme Court justices, though, that declined to stop the execution...
Yeah.
In Georgia of Troy Davis, who maybe might have possibly been innocent. And that wasn't enough to stop his execution, because I guess we just needed to kill him.
Did they issue an opinion on that, though?
One line that said, we're not listening.
We're not listening.
Yeah.
You know,
and it was Clarence Thomas that issued the opinion. They had to appeal to Clarence Thomas.
Well, where else?
Of course.
Would
yeah.
Because once you go through a door, you should close it so no one else can go through.
Yes.
Behind you.
Yes.
I am a little frustrated. I mean, death penalty has always been something that's kind of motivated. When I was in law school, it was one of the things I'm like, if I really just dedicate myself to this, that would be an issue, but I didn't. The argument being he might have been an innocent man. To me, like, again, the left has to, or the progressives have to take a better negotiating stance if you want to be cold-hearted about it. It's not, the death penalty, even if he was guilty,
right.
Was wrong.
Right. I mean, the guy that was one of the guys that dragged James Byrd to death in Texas was executed last night also.
Right. We got one right, we got one wrong, if you agree that even
right.
Death penalty is right.
Right. However, and yet we have the case of James Anderson in Mississippi, who was the man, the black man who was beaten by a group of white teenagers and then was run over by a pickup truck, driven by one of them.
He was dragged.
No, this is a different case. This isn't James Byrd. This is just this past June. And it was on video, the whole incident on video. So they know who did it. The family of James Anderson, the victim, has said that they do not want the death penalty imposed on their, you know, son and or brothers, not and or, son or brothers. I mean, I know it's Mississippi,
the slip-up is telling, because the point is we shouldn't be doing this to people that did these things.
Well, in a stark contrast to what happened in Georgia, where the family was adamant that he should be executed.
Oh, yeah, in Troy Davis's case, yeah. And that murder was done in 1989, I believe.
Oh, that's right. Well, see, that's the thing. I mean, people can put it more eloquently, and I may misstate the facts, but death sentences cost more than life in prison. As far as money,
because of the appeals process
and the whole thing.
Texas took a bite out of that, where they have now decided to pass legislation where the request for a last meal is no longer going to be honored. So apparently there was
monkeys.
Monkey fried steak, pizza, you know, all these things, and they just said, you know what, you're not going to get that anymore. It's too much of a burden.
Yeah, didn't they say you'd have to pay for it if you want a last meal?
No, you're not. You just get what they give to every other prisoner.
Wow,
that is
awesome. Fuckers.
If you're going to be a cartoon, it'll be a fucking cartoon. You know what?
Yeah.
The biggest thing for me, it's not. If you look at the reasons for punishment in this country, there's deterrent, there's retribution, there's rehabilitation, there's a fourth one I forget. It doesn't obviously rehabilitate the person who's being punished because they're dead. It doesn't, whatever the third thing I just said was. And it's clearly retribution because it doesn't deter people. No one who's on the verge of a capital crime is going to assess the cost-benefit analysis of life in prison versus death.
No, seriously.
The
only thing that prevents me from going on a five-state killing spree is sodomy in prison.
Yeah.
If there wasn't prison sodomy, I would probably be stabbing both of you right now.
I'm pretty sure Rick Perry will not outlaw sodomy.
See, there you go.
How are we doing for time out there, Captain Monroe? That's the new
this
thing.
This one goes out to the one I love.
Oh, the end of R.E.M.?
This one goes out to the one I left behind.
Can you tell me
another
the story with... I haven't paid
to
up for R.E.M.
Occupy my
Drew, while he's done. Singing yeah. badly.
Sure.
With good effort. A for effort.
They didn't sing all that one first, but
it's F for my soul die. Fire. So R.E.M. is breaking up.
Yeah, 31 years.
Have they been, together?
They have, yeah.
I guess they recently put out a thing.
They have.
And they made those videos.
Yet again, another Greatest Hits album, which they put out apparently every 3 years.
Yes. They put out an album in March. Yes.
Hey, good for them. They had a good run.
They did.
That's great. It starts with an earthquake. Birds in space. Airplanes. Lenny Bruce is not afraid. Eye of a hurricane. Listen to yourself.
You gotta stop now.
Leonard Bernstein, it's the end of the show. And
ladies and gentlemen, this has been Cheater and the Rude. We are here every Thursday at 8 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network. Our special guest today has been...
Drew Overton.
No, I want him to say
it. You wanted him to say it? Say your name. Say your name. Say it soft. Say it like you mean it.
I am Jeff Chrysler.
No, I want to hear him say his name. We're not leaving the air until he says his name.
You can check us out on Facebook.
We're not leaving the air.
Rude.
No.
I'm on Twitter, Jeff Chrysler, K-R-I-S-L-A-R.
No, I'm on at Rude Pundit, and you can buy my book, The Rude Pundit.
Drew, you can have the last word.
Books.
That's Drew Overton.
Yes!
Good night,
everybody. Hit it! No, that's not the right song!
Oh, it doesn't matter.
Wow.
Let's just go out to this.
Let's go out
Cheetah and the Rude.
Cheetah and the Rude.
8 p.m.